Hey everybody, it's your boy Buzz from Bulls on Tap and Sox on Tap, brought to you by OnTapSportsNet.com. And I want to talk to you about something. These podcasts are now presented by Manscaped. If you're looking for the best manscaping products on the planet, go to Manscaped.com and browse their awesome selection. The Lawnmower 3.0 brings you 7,000 RPMs of skin-safe technology so you don't nick your balls or any other sensitive areas. Want to keep your boys fresh all day? No problem. Go and pick up the ball toner and deodorant so you're fresh all day long. Go to Manscaped.com and use promo code ONTAP to get 20% off and free shipping and handling on all your manscaping needs. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz. I'm joined by my little bro, aka Full Scripted, aka Goose. And we are here to, review the 0-2 start to the Chicago Bulls as they drop one to the Indiana Pacers. Before we get into this, be sure you're going to OnTapSportsNet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at OnTapSportsNet. Follow my dude Goose at BullScripted and follow me at Buzz on Tap. And anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review. Goose, we always talk before we fucking start recording. This one pissed me off. Crack'em. This one pissed me off really bad. I cannot... we'll break down the game, but my God, was this fucking nasty from top to bottom. But, you know, how you doing on this Saturday night, man? How, you know, before we get into the depressing shit, how was your holiday? How was your holiday, man?
Oh, well, that's just more depressing news. We just stayed home. We actually both got each other our gifts early, so me and my lady didn't have anything to open for each other. Didn't go over to any family house, just, you know, trying to stay safe and smart about everything that's going on in the world right now, trying to get through that part of things. So no bright news for you there. And, yeah, I mean, we always talk before and after the show about the game, and sometimes you try to throw those things in there that I don't know are getting thrown in there on me. But tonight it was the first time where we actually had to try to decompress you a little bit because you were tight, man. You were
I feel not what you were expecting
to watch.
I know. I feel bad because, like, you know, I look at you, my little brother, for real. We've hung out quite a few times, and I'm usually a level-headed guy, but, like, tonight I was on one. I was like I'm fucking pissed. I am. I'm pissed. I don't know other ways to put it. I know that lately we've had a mix of the people that listen to our show that are like, you know, agree with what you or I say. And, you know, we have different opinions on things, you and I, no doubt. I mean, that's what makes the show cool, is we believe what we want to. It's a cool thing about this earth. You believe what you want to believe. You know, but we have people that side with you. We have people side with me. We have people that think me and you are both idiots. That's fine. Tonight, I was literally about to fucking spin kick my TV. I was just like, fuck this. I'm done. Like, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? I'm covering a team that don't give no fucks is what was in my mind. It's like, they don't care. They're just going to come out here and collect a paycheck, and that's what it is. And that was like the first time I felt this way about this team in a minute, you know? I mean, that. So yes, you had to decompress me before we even started recording, because everybody who's listening to this right now, which there's quite a few of you, this almost didn't happen tonight because how mad I was. I have no idea.
Hey, well, and I would like to preface your frustration with this fact alone. If half the team, which it appears we do have, like, the best 9 through 14 in the league, because we can make a fucking comeback when the shit's supposed to be over like nobody's business. But if half of our starting rotation cared about this game as much as you do at the end of this game, about being pissed about your expectations and your feelings and your hopes for this team, then we probably don't get our ass kicked by 30 points before we enter the fourth quarter again, which has happened now once in the first game of preseason, once in the first game of the regular season and the second time in the regular season. And that has to be added with the caveat of the fact that we played the fucking Oklahoma City Thunder for the last two preseason games. And in that final preseason game, our starters lost by about 20 points to OKC starters before we came back in that game with our beloved try-hard bench that just doesn't want to die and is probably looking for a job somewhere else because they see the ship sinking. No, I mean, that shit was hard to watch. We won the first fucking quarter by a point, as you pointed out at the beginning of the show. But we did win the first quarter, and it was nothing but sharks and tsunamis after that.
Yeah, dude, like, I just don't understand where we're at as a team. And I'm not going to sit here and rip on Billy Donovan, because I'd be an asshole if I did. The guy's been successful everywhere he went. And this is something that I've talked to our dude Juice about. And, you know, you've got to, we've been fortunate. I grew up with Juice, and you've gotten fortunate. You met him a couple times. You know, we got to have a couple drinks together or whatever. But he made a great point. Is like, when you're taught brokenness, it's sometimes hard to break you out of the brokenness. And that's, it is what it is. And he go, like, you know, I was talking to him about it. He was like, this team's fucking broken, dude. He goes, I don't even know why you're watching it. He goes, I know we have to cover it for On Tap, but he goes, I have no idea what the fuck you're watching. This team's not better for 2 to 3 years. That's what he said. If anybody stays, and, you know, I usually argue with him. I'm like, yo, listen, I'm like, there's some motherfucking talent here. Let's calm down. I know we're 2 games in, and all the people will be like, don't worry, we're 2 games in. Billy D will fix it. Like, listen, dude, the effort is something that is in your heart and not taught. Wendell Carter Jr. looks like shit. And anybody that says he's going to be an all-star player or even near that is whatever drugs you have, give them to me, okay? Because I'm down to be on them. Zach LaVine, I called for him to be an all-star. The 2 games that he's performed this year, he can score. He can score. He's not doing much else. Lauri Markkanen, 2 for 8. This is exactly what Goose and I said in the first regular season episode. If he's not hitting the three-pointers, this is exactly what you get. And I will say, 6 for 14, 16 points, and 9 boards isn't enough for me to pay you. You shot the fucking ball 8 times from beyond the arc. You made 2 of them. If you're not going to be aggressive, then I'm not going to pay you. And that's me. It's not my money. It's Jerry and Michael's money. I get that.
Oh, no, it's really not even their money. It's the league's money.
Right, it's the
salary cap. The salary cap is funded by revenue and all that fun stuff.
Right.
So, no, and I don't want to sit here on my high horse because it is only 2 games in, but we were killed for our draft night reactions, and I probably only remember 30-minute hour spurts.
Okay, well, we were fucked up, okay? But it's going to take a lot more than Patrick Williams to turn this franchise around.
Well, no, and that was... But that Pat was the minor problem. It was being so close to the top tier. We're seeing Wiseman, even though Golden State has lost 2 games, Wiseman's tearing shit up. He's leading the rookies in points. Looks like a monster. Looks like he's ready to compete out the gates. Which many who watched him in the 3 college games that he played knew that was going to happen. He was being touted as, move over Zion Williamson, there's a new man in town, and a lot of that's just media push. But at the same time, he's a 7-1 freak who's got alternative skills. And we had fans that were, Wendell Carter Jr. can't be traded. Why would we trade Wendell Carter Jr. to move up in a draft? And to this point, Wendell Carter has been shit. Lauri Markkanen settling for too many threes tonight after making his first three-pointer for the second game in a row was disappointing. He didn't follow through like he did in the first game with his defensive woes to, you know, overcapitalize with his offensive performance. And I don't even think we saw him for the rest of the third, about halfway through, and none of the fourth. So I don't know what that relationship with Billy is like right now. Sabonis, I had a different phrase that was about to come out of my mouth. I'm going to stop myself. Sabonis demolished us.
You fucking triple-double on my ass.
And by us, I mean Lowry and Wendell. Well, for the second night in a row, we gave up a damn near historic amount of points in the paint. And I don't really know how to approach this gently because I keep being told that Wendell has a 7'4", 7'5" wingspan.
Oh my God, miss me.
But
Miss me.
is he not falling into this category where he's too small, too weak?
It has nothing to do with that because the people that think they know basketball will say that, oh, well, it's the, and now we're in drop coverage, so we're blitzing, that's wrong. Now we're in drop coverage, now that's wrong. No, he's just not good. And
Well, no,
I,
and my
it,
counter to this would be, as a professional athlete who makes millions of dollars a year, generally more than your coach makes, in the moment, are you not supposed to feel that out? Like, should I hedge? Should I drop? Should I blitz? Knowing your personnel, listening to Bulls broadcasts, this is something that is drilled into our heads by Stason
I
Keach.
was exactly what I was just about to tell you, Goose.
Hey.
Yes.
KYP.
Yes.
Know your personnel.
Right. You could be taught whatever you're going to be taught from the coaching staff, but if you have a high enough IQ per Stacy, and like, listen, Stacy wasn't the greatest. He wasn't. He wasn't the greatest player out there. He was great in college. He wasn't good in the pros. I'm sorry. But I will.
Want Stacy on our show. Don't throw shots at him. He did nothing wrong with that.
Definitely not throwing shots at him. He'll tell you the same thing. He wasn't the greatest pro. But he was great in college, and I think he has a great IQ. He knows the game of basketball. He's been covering it long enough. KYP is something that should be on one of our t-shirts that are going to be coming out this year. Know your personnel. Know exactly what the fuck you're doing. And I'll tell you something right now. Not one on this team outside of Otto Porter Jr., I feel, knows their personnel. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, I give it to Sato. He's just so limited athletically that he can't really
Oh, Sato. Yeah,
apply
no.
that
Sato
knowledge.
could play D for sure.
Sato, no, I'm not even saying Sato can play D. I'm saying Sato has the IQ and the understanding of what he's supposed to do. His lengthy, somewhat awkward body just doesn't allow him to do it quick enough to where it's effective. And on the topic of Sato, since we have to get to this game at some point, player of the game. Only player that deserves any kind of clapping because his effort throughout the game and just his ability to actually make this offense run like it had a purpose at certain moments was somewhat encouraging to see that he'll be playing over Archie Diakono moving forward against Golden State tomorrow, who's hungry for their first win. And then we get the Wizards twice, and I think it's Bucks, Mavericks, Blazers, Kings, Lakers, Clippers. No, I mean, I know you want me to stop, and I'm piling it on you, and it hurts you right now, but that's the reality of our situation, and
You know what's fucked to me is the fact that we played like what 13 guys tonight. We played like 13 guys
oh,
tonight.
no, yeah. Everybody but Felicio and Cornette on the
Yeah.
15 roster played tonight.
And like Denzel Valentine, everybody's been like, well, he hit, three three-pointers. He had 11 points. He was negative 10 in the plus minus. I know we're not big believers in that, but that guy can't do much else. I mean, I just I
Oh, don't hate on Valley. He came in, he
This
hit a
guy
three.
getting a contract over Chris Dunn gives me fucking AIDS, buddy. It gives me the disease AIDS because I got fucked. That's what it
Oh,
does.
geez, we went there. I
I
don't
did.
even know
I
how to
did. I went
comment.
there. It gives me AIDS. Because I. How? How? How, dude? Like, I'm losing my mind here. No one can play defense.
All right, all right, let's look at it from let's put ourselves in Acme's shoes. You
Okay.
take over this roster,
For
all right?
sure. Okay.
And I've kind of beat this dead horse a little bit too much, and people don't want to hear it, and it's just blue scripted narrative. But you took over a roster that you either saw the potential in or completely didn't see the potential in. Publicly saying that you don't see the potential in this team does absolutely nothing for you in the leverage game. So, what do you really have to lose in your first year by just saying, let's bring it back?
Yeah, no, you're
Let's
right.
see what really is here. And we're starting one of the youngest players in the league over a max player in Otto Porter. And Otto has, at least in the first six games of this preseason and regular season, had his moments where you see the guy that deserves a max contract, and then you see the moments where this guy was traded for Jabari Parker, Bobby Portis on expiring contracts and a bag of chips. So we are starting probably the youngest starting lineup in the league.
Yeah,
And
I just
games in, I know, hang on, give me another 10 seconds. I'm writing.
good.
Two games into the season, after what we've seen, Billy didn't make the adjustment after the first game. Maybe he just wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. Or maybe that's the plan. Maybe we're running out the youngest roster in the league, and we're not tanking, but we're tanking. And we're seeing if the five players that we've actually invested draft picks or capital and everything in can play together. And for a little bit in the first quarter tonight, we saw it. There's been times in the second and third game of preseason where we saw it, but the first, last, and first two games of regular season, we have not seen it, and it's starting to look like we're going to be trading everybody off like we should have done on draft night, which was my main frustration on draft night, was we made no roster moves. That's looking like it might be the play here. We got a shit schedule. We got a rough ride for the next month and a half. Run the rookies, bury this record so deep in the hole that you can't dig out of it and you're forced to sell off.
Well, maybe I'm wrong then. I mean, maybe no one has potential. You know what I mean? Like, and
No, they do. To your point, and I hate to cut you off again,
you're
just
not. No,
rant.
it's fine, dude. It's fine. You're not cutting me off when you have points to bring. I mean, go ahead, bring it. What do you?
They're done here. You said that they're done wearing the red and white.
Yeah.
If you look at how toxic our fan base can be, and we're included in that toxicity at times, we are very polarizing. You can go other places and you can go under the radar. You can go unnoticed in Chicago after what we had happen here during the 90s, during both of our childhoods, to grow up in that culture and that vibe. It gets wicked here quick.
Oh yeah, and that's across any team. I understand that, but holy shit, man.
So no, maybe these guys are just done because we did see guys just kind of laughing and nonchalantly going about shit on the bench after getting their ass kicked for a second night in a row,
Right.
and it's been our adapted Chicago mentality, blue collar. You come to work, you bust your ass, and that's not what we're seeing right now. We can't
No.
even apply that.
Go with me here, bro. Go with me here, okay? Round one, pick seven at the PG, okay? Round one, pick 10 at the SG, okay? Round one, pick four at the small forward. Round one, pick seven at the C. Round one, pick seven at the power forward. There are fucking five top 10 picks in a draft, in a certain draft, okay? In this starting lineup, five, and then you have off your bench, you got a round one guy like Chandler Hutchinson who didn't get any minutes. You got a guy like Garrett Temple. Oh, that was my favorite part today, is everybody was like, oh, well, wait till Garrett Temple comes back. He's gonna bring you the wing defense. It's gonna be a different team. It's like, oh yeah, the 8 points he brings me is really gonna tickle my motherfucking fancy. Please let me know. Thank you. Yes. No. He's a journeyman for a reason, guys. Like, I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but if he's a guy that you rely on and you're excited about to watch him play, you don't know basketball. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I mean it. It is what it is. And then you have Tomas, who we give the game ball to for the Bulls because he fucking tried his ass off tonight. He did. He tried really hard. He did
But
his
he still didn't
best.
make a three, did
No.
he?
Yeah, I mean, and then you have Kobe White. Kobe White scores 12 points tonight. Guess what
And
he went?
he had three threes in the first quarter.
Right, but he finished 4 for 7 from three. What is 4 times 3, Goose? Can you tell me?
Twelve.
It's fucking 12. He went 4 for 10 from the field, 4 for 7. What is happening? Like, this is what I'm looking at. And Kobe finishes with 3 assists. The team tonight, Goose. The team finished with fucking 23 assists tonight, which isn't horrible, okay?
Which
But
means,
Tomas had 9 of them. He
okay,
had 9.
I knew he had at least 8. So I was about to say, so we had 15 assists outside of Sato, who came off the bench.
There's just nothing. There's nothing here. This
So
is a
no,
comp.
and we're gonna get killed for this again,
I
but I
don't
have
care.
to bring it up. Let's revisit draft night. You are one pick away from LaMelo Ball and Lauri Markkanen or Wendell Carter Jr. Lauri, I'm in favor of, but I was not opposed to trading him to move up to get a fresh rookie contract. of somebody who might have a transcendent skill in playmaking that is clearly lacking on this fucking team, who is now sitting on the bench in Charlotte because they're trying to build trade value for Rozier or Graham because they just invested a number three overall pick in this kid. So they're fucking up over there in a way too. But at what point of getting our ass kicked throughout this whole entire season would not feel and look a whole lot better getting your ass kicked with LaMelo Ball on your roster? Will you have some excitement? Will you have some hope? Because at this point, our only hope is that we can get as much value for these players by the trade deadline that we could have gotten on draft night, which was the biggest fear of mine overall that I've been killed for. And 2 games into the regular season, it's not looking so good, Bob.
No, it's not good, Bob. It's not great, Bob. And again, this is where we're at. I try not to agree with you on everything, but I can't help it here. I'm going to. The fact that we didn't make a move on draft night because I wanted a certain player, miss me with that shit. Fuck off, okay? B, I wanted to do something because I knew for a motherfucking fact Lowry and WCJ aren't going to last together. You have potential in a couple of them. And as much as I love Lowry, and I do. I think Lowry's going to be, I think he could, well, if coached correctly, he can be a great player. Okay? I think so. I think he'd be a top 4-3 guy. And there's a reason NBA players and coaches say that around the league. Okay? It's not just me. There's a reason people say that kind of shit. You needed to move somebody at their highest value for us because we're not going to get any further than it. And guess what? If you tell me now the start of the preseason, okay, to where we're at right now, 2 games into the regular season with Wendell Carter Jr., he has completely not plateaued.
Zero.
No, it's went down, dude. It's not zero. It's in the negatives. It's in the negatives. That's where that's at. Lowry Markkanen, too. And I just told you, as much as I love him.
Yeah, Matt, Lowry's 50-50 in the regular season, at least. First game, he led the team in points, was super efficient. Second game, not so much. Defensive side still looks like shit.
When you're surrounded by suck, little brother, it's not that great if you lead the team in points. He's doing exactly what you and I didn't want him to do in the fucking in the offseason. He's standing behind the line, and he's taking a bulk of his shot from
all right,
three.
Okay, I have to bring this up. And I hope you saw this moment tonight.
I did. I saw
there
everything.
Was a moment. You saw everything?
I did.
Where Lowry threw the pick and dove to the paint. His man fell on the ground. He is sitting there clapping at Wendell Carter Jr.
Are you talking third
Give
quarter?
Me the ball. Yes, I'm talking third quarter.
That's what I thought,
standing
yeah.
Standing in the paint all alone.
Yep.
Nothing going on.
Yep.
Just clapping.
Yep.
Hey, bro, I'm right here, 7 feet tall. All I have to do is you can literally chuck this at the backboard, and I could dunk it off the bitch right now. But no, I'm going to look at Kobe White, hand you the ball. You're going to give it back to me. And I've made 1 3-pointer since the preseason, but let me jack this bitch up.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
That was smart basketball. I like to see that.
Yeah, no, I saw that.
So no, I can't kill Lowry.
I'm not killing him. He's just not in a good spot.
No, he's not hitting his shots, but when he makes the right cuts or the right reads, he's not getting rewarded either.
No, and that's what we said in the first game. How many mismatches did he get himself in game one? And Kobe, Zach, no, whoever's ball handling never looked for him. Again, Lowry, I think, is going there's a reason why people fucking say that Lowry could be a third to fourth on a fucking winning championship team, okay? There's a reason for that. Everybody around him right now looks terrible. And I do see the potential in Patrick Williams. I think Patrick Williams could be good. I've eaten my comments about that. I have. I think that I overreacted, for sure. I just wish that the young talent that I don't think Patrick Williams is going to blow us away and be a guy like Kawhi Jr. or whatever the fuck they're calling him. I don't see that. Okay, I don't see that. You know why? Because he doesn't have vets around him to help him that you know get that far. I don't see it. I'm just blown away right now at the play, the effort, and everything from the Chicago Bulls. That's where I'm blown away. They all look like shit. They got fucking punked tonight. They got punked. And now we're going to go into a game against a Hall of Famer Okay, and fucking Steph Curry, and yeah, they're fucking 0-2 or whatever the hell they are. But guess what, Goose? They have like Kelly Oubre on that fucking team too, man. They got James Wiseman. They got some good fucking players over here that are gonna literally double dick us down. And it's
Hey, Kelly Oubre and Wiggins have been killing him. That's why they're losing. They don't have Klay and they don't have Dre right now, so they're 0-2. I think Kelly Oubre was the first player in NBA history to start off like 0 from 11 from 3-point
Oh, no,
range or something like
I'm
that.
not saying he's a world beater. I'm saying that he's better than what we got.
Well, no, they have a Hall of Famer and they're 0-2 and they desperately need a win playing in the Western Conference coming up against the Chicago Bulls. So, yes, they're coming to fight, and if we only decide to play one or two quarters again, the starters play the first quarter and the back end of the bench guys play the end of the fourth, we ain't winning any basketball games.
Right.
And
And not to cut you off, but I want to throw something out there because I mean we covered this game a little bit tonight. We got fucking killed in all phases of the game. I am not blaming Billy Donovan for this. I know that Billy Donovan's a good head coach. I know this. It's just you cannot fix what has already been broken sometimes, and I feel like the young talent on this team is a little bit broken, and I'm starting to feel like, as much as I hate to say it, because I do think that he has the potential to do it. It depends on how long we ride it out. Kobe White is not, if he can't find his shot, he's not going to find his teammates. And
no,
that, and
trading Zach LaVine to get extra assets to move up instead of trading Lowry or Wendell, if you're opposed to that, was a great option this offseason to grab an extra asset to try to move up and grab LaMelo Ball. I would feel so much better with LaMelo Ball next to Kobe White than I do Kobe White next to Zach LaVine.
And
And
you've
Kobe
said
White
that,
and
and
Zach
I'll give you credit. You've said that since the off season.
I don't think that that's a no-brainer. For anybody who's looking at this logically, you have an elite playmaker, an elite scorer, that works. And you can even make the argument for trading Kobe, which I think would have been premature, but LaMelo and Zach. Defensively, I think that's probably worse than the alternative, but we need to play making. We really did. And yeah, Cade Cunningham would be sexy as hell, but we've seen the way that this lottery works. We could be the first team and end up picking fourth. And not get Cade or anybody. I mean, I can't say anybody in this draft at 5. You're still going to get somebody, but you're not going to get the guy that you want by being the worst team in the league, and that's the issue that we've run into. We decided to rebuild and trade out of an All-NBA player for a project point guard in Chris Dunn, who's now walked for free, number 7 overall pick, and Lauri Markkanen, who has become my favorite player on this team. But on draft night, I wanted Malik Monk, despite all his issues he's had in the league. So we made a questionable trade of a great player, and now we're stuck in the middle of sucking and not sucking enough to get who we need to turn this around. And we've watched Dallas, Memphis, even Sacramento to somewhat of an extent be in the position to get a player that you can at least say, this is my cornerstone. We don't have that. We're going on the fourth season played. We're in the fourth season overall since moving on from Butler, and we don't have that. And it's really not anywhere in sight unless Patrick Williams decides to become Kawhi 2.0.
And even that is just like a fucking pipe dream at this point, you know?
Oh no, it's entirely a pipe dream, and I keep trying to explain to people like, no, what you don't understand is, sure, taking the youngest two-way player available in a questionable draft is smart. It's new age. It's advanced. But at the same time, it was the safest play available. That was the smartest thing you could do, was take Patrick Williams or Isaac Okoro, two-way players with potential to develop. Either way, they're going to be rotational players. I'm not wrong by taking them in this draft at this spot if they don't become an all-star, and I'm a genius if they do. So that was a safe play, not making any moves on this roster in the first year of your tenure of drastic change. That's not bold either. So I'm waiting to judge this front office on their first bold decision. But to this point, and it's very early, we have until March 25th, I believe, for the trade deadline to see what this roster can do and what they can get out of it. But they're playing like this, you conceded so much trade value that is or wasn't there on draft night. I'm not on the phones, but logically, lesser contracts, worse play, no leverage equals a lot worse value than you would have had in the open season of the offseason.
Right. No, I agree with that, man. I agree with everything you said. And I hate to be like overly fucking negative in these, you know. I really do because like it's supposed to be fun for the people that listen, and I think that we do a pretty good job of, especially like the balance that you and I have. I think that we do a pretty good job of us being like, you know, hey, this is all right, and like, hey, this sucks or whatever. But holy shit, dude, 2 games through where you don't even look fucking ready to play. I'm sorry. I'm not gonna fucking sit here and accept that that's Billy Donovan. I'm not. I won't accept that. I'm not accepting that answer. I just where we're at right now, they need to figure it out real fucking quick because we not only do we play tonight, we play tomorrow, then we play Tuesday. We got a lot of fucking games in a row here against a lot of good teams, and it needs to improve. I honestly, I have nothing else to touch on. I know we didn't touch a lot of the specifics that come on in this game, but there's nothing to really touch on specifically. They underperformed tonight. It was fucking bad, okay? Not one starter got over fucking 20 points, and everybody besides, once again, fucking Hutch and Archie Diacono and fucking Temple were a plus in the plus minus. So help me God, someone tells me that Archie should be starting. Fucking help me. You know, like I can't hear it anymore. This team underperformed tonight, and they should look at themselves in the mirror. The guys that want to stay and the guys that want to get paid. And they should be like, oh my God. Like, this is fucking bad. We need to figure it
No.
out now.
No, if you're looking at that other team tonight and you see that Doug McDermott, Justin Holliday, two ex-Bulls, McConnell and Sabonis whipped your ass. This ain't even about the team, but this is personal pride. How do you go to bed at night knowing that you make millions of dollars for a job that you get paid to do? And you play like that. And you get beat out the gym by two guys who were traded out of here or let walk in free agency because they weren't valued enough to be on this roster. And Domantas Sabonis, who has an all-star appearance last year, which is fucking mind-blowing in itself, watching the guy play basketball. Yeah, he's a good post presence, but man, stop giving this man a whistle. He ain't shit. But no, if you get beat by the accumulation of those four guys with Victor Oladipo on a subpar night, I hope you don't sleep at night. I hope you're not laughing on the bench like you were, because this cannot happen again tomorrow.
No, it can't.
And
It can't.
it's going to.
I
And
know.
after 3 games as a new front office, what the fuck do you do?
Well, at that point, I mean, that point, you fucking make everybody feel like an asshole. I'm sorry, that's like a new management coming into an everyday job. That's where you feel like a dick fuck, and it's like you're either done, motherfucker, or I'm going to make you want to fucking quit because you've underperformed so badly. That's where I'm at. You have to come out with a sense of urgency. Like Stacy said tonight, you need to play hard. You need to play for something. You are playing for your life right now. You are playing for not, I mean, listen, I know the Bulls have been a laughing stock for years, but listen, that Chicago Bulls logo and the city of Chicago is the, you find the best basketball talent here. You had the greatest player to ever play the game play here. If you don't want to live in that shadow, that's fine. Make your own legacy. Pick it up. Let's make something happen.
Well, and no, approach somebody in the offseason and say, hey, man, I'm tired of the pressure that comes with playing for this franchise. I really don't like the heat that I get from the franchise. Move me on because I'm not fit for this culture. Say it. Get the hell out of here because I didn't sign up Jimmy Butler, who was one of my favorite players to ever put on a Bulls jersey.
Mine too.
I never wanted to trade him, but I accepted the reality and the fact of
It made
that nature.
sense.
And accepting that, I expected this to be carried out properly. I expected us to get a draft talent that had the potential to be a top 20 player in the draft. I
Yeah.
don't see that on this roster yet.
Neither do I. You're right.
I don't see players that care to be that. And instead of getting rid of them while they had the perception of a greater value in the offseason, we waited. And now we're sucking And by March 25th, after we played 20, 35 games, somewhere in there, I don't think we're going to have more value. And at that point, you're selling to teams that have picks in the 20s and the 30s. And this is going to hurt. It's going to be a whole tear down, strip down, rebuild. And it is going to suck because we're going to endure another 3 to 4 years of this until we get lottery lucky because we don't even have that benefit anymore.
Well, you're
So.
absolutely right. And another thing is, too, man, Goose, if you look at it, is like one-off games aren't enough for us anymore. We need strings of games to be like, okay, this is what you got. This is what you got. Okay, this makes sense now. You're performing at this level. One-offs, fuck one-offs anymore. Again, I understand it's a new system. I understand a new coach is here. But this new coach, I think, if I'm this critical, me being me, Billy Donovan's got to be fucking chewing these guys out and spitting them out.
His ass is on the line.
He did,
He
well,
should
he did
also.
it to Kobe. He did it to Kobe the other night. It's a learning curve, he said, but he did not perform near what he thought he was going to perform. And again, I like Kobe. Kobe's a young player in this league, and I have to dismiss the first year under a dick with ears like Jim Boylan. I do. I have to dismiss it. But holy shit, man. You have to show something better than this. And going into tomorrow night against Golden State, you got to do
As hard as
something.
this is to fucking say, they're making Jim Boylan look like a genius.
Oh my God.
They're sitting on the bench laughing like, bro, we're not doing push-ups and laps after this shit. We still get to cash our check. How you doing? And that was the mentality that was trying to be changed. And finding a middle
A
Billy, a
milli, a
Millie.
milli, a milli. Mm-hmm.
Finding a middle ground with Billy between Fred and Jim was supposed to, hey. We're serious. We're playing every night. We're doing this. I'm not going to make you do laps, and I'm going to give you my confidence. But with that confidence, I need you to show out. And they've made him look like a joke to this point, and I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe Billy's going to install a time clock.
Yeah. He, like I said, he's been a great coach everywhere he's went. I have faith in him to figure out what's going on here. But I got nothing else. Tomorrow we go, as Goose and I pointed out earlier, we go against the 0-2 Golden State Warriors. The Bulls are also 0-2. This is another home game for the Chicago Bulls. You got a Hall of Famer coming in the building. You got some good talent on this team. The Bulls start, if they don't put it together, they're 0-3. They're 0-3 by the second quarter tomorrow if they don't put it together, and that's just my honest to God opinion. By a second, if they don't try, if they put an abysmal effort like they did tonight, out there against Golden State and Steve Kerr, they're gonna totally piss in their mouths. It's gonna be game fucking over real quick, and it's just we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens. Golden State is beat up too. They're without Dre. They're without Klay. I get it. But they got Steph Curry still, and they got some good talent on that team, and they're way more well coached than the Chicago Bulls are at this point. So they need to figure it out tomorrow, man. Big time.
Hey, losing by 10 with your starters on the floor with 2 minutes left in the fourth would be a positive trend to what we've seen in the first two games. So let's come out against a real team and at least put up a fight. And that's my bar that I'm setting for tomorrow night. And don't expect to win. That's at the point of this season already, 2 games in, where I ain't gonna lay that on. What I do need to see is being within 10, 15 points entering the fourth quarter and finishing that quarter with your starters on the floor because you had a chance to win that game.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, that's all I got for tonight's episode. I'm sorry if that came off shitty. Goose and I never try to do that, but he actually did. Goose, credit to you, man. You talked me off a ledge before we got on here because I was ready to burn the fucking. I was actually ready to burn my house down. Not even the world, but my house, my little world. I was ready to burn the fuck down. I was so mad. But we'll be back tomorrow night after the Bulls play the Golden State Warriors. Hopefully they can improve. Everybody be sure you're going to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at BullsOnTap, at OnTapSportsNet. Following Goose at BullsScripted. Follow me at BuzzOnTap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review. Any questions, concerns, comments, criticism, send it our way at BullsOnTap or at our personal handles. What are you looking for? What do you want the team to improve on? Are you looking for anything to help them? Do you have, you think you have an idea to solve it? Just tweet at us and let us know. Again, we'll be back tomorrow after the Bulls play the Warriors. Hopefully it's a dub. Goose, you got anything before we ride out into the sunset here?
No, I mean, don't jump off the cliff completely, I guess. Hey, hold on loosely, but don't let go.
Don't let go, Jack. Don't let go.
Don't let go. let's at least see some effort tomorrow, and hopefully we're not on the edge.
Yeah, absolutely. You heard the man. Let's see some effort tomorrow. I might take a toaster bath, but you have Goose here with you to make sure you do not take a toaster bath. So let's go, Bulls.